What does it take to put on a 3,000 person conference? What if you make that a festival with 100 speakers and 5 stages and 3,000 attendees? That is the question charged with Jamie Leonard and his team at the Recruiting Events Company. This will be my 3rd year attending RecFest, and it's been incredible to see this event grow and scale because I think it has a vibe unlike any other event that I've seen, and I go to quite a few events. And so I wanted to spend some time with Jamie to learn a little bit more about the origin story behind RecFest, where it came from, what their vision for it was at the time, how it's evolved, how they select content, and a lot more. So I'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsor with a conversation with Recruiting Events Company founder Jamie Leonard. 21st Century HR is a podcast exploring how to build better businesses through modern people practices and approaches. It's brought to you by my firm, Amplify. Amplify provides HR executive search and strategic consulting services that help companies build better organizations. From employer brand development and execution to global talent strategies, Amplify develops custom solutions that help clients from Hootsuite to SpaceX optimize their recruiting capabilities. Amplify also hosts a new community for HR leaders called the Ecosystem. The Ecosystem was designed to bring modern HR leaders around the world together to share ideas, inspiration, and support. Learn more at amplifytalent.com. Hey everyone, welcome to the 21st Century HR Podcast. I am your host, Lars Schmidt, and I'm thrilled to be joined by today's guest, Jamie Leonard from the Recruiting Events Co. Jamie is the founder of the Recruiting Events Co., which puts on an event where I will be this week called RecFest. And it's an event that I've collaborated with him on the last couple years. And to me, it really stands alone in terms of uniqueness and experience in a sea of events that I go to quite a bit. And so I wanted to spend some time kind of in the week of RecFest with Jamie, just digging into a little bit more of the history of RecFest, where the idea came from, how it's evolved over the last years, and much more. So without any further ado, Jamie, why don't you give the listeners a brief introduction on you and your background?
Yeah, thank you very much, Lars. It's awesome to be on the podcast. And if I don't say enough, thank you for your support with RecFest. I know it's your 3rd year, so we really do support, we really do appreciate it. In terms of my background, so for my sins, back in the day, I was a job board guy. I worked for Monster for a number of years and a few other job boards in the UK, and been running and hosting events within the in-house recruitment space now for around 8 years. Both myself and my wife were made redundant around about the same time, as around about the time that a lot of people in the UK were being made redundant because of all the shit that was going on with the finance market. And we just kind of, you know, sat down one day and said, you know, what do we want to do? What do we want out of life? Our daughter was 3 months away from being born. And, you know, we sort of looked around and looked at the event space. And at the time, and there were some exceptions, but most of the events were shit. And we just thought we could do a better job. And that's why we set up the recruitment events company. And, you know, eight years later, we're still here. So not bad.
Yeah, very cool. And as somebody who started a business when I was also expecting my first child, I can appreciate the nerve-wracking elements of that. So, and how cool that you had a chance to kind of build this together with Lois. That's a pretty unique opportunity. You know, from your perspective, when kind of rewinding all the way back to the very first RecFest, where did the idea come from for that initial event?
So I've always been a big festival guy. So, you know, the UK does festivals very well. Obviously, Glastonbury was just this weekend. I wasn't there, but it looked amazing. And what I've always loved about festivals is the acts, the music is certainly a focus, but it's the connections you have with other people that is what a festival is all about. And, you know, I kind of wanted to do that with an event that we had. So, and we're going to have some amazing speakers. Our speakers travel from all over the world. They're fantastic. But RecFest is really about the peer-to-peer connection and being in an environment that's a bit more relaxed, a little bit more chilled, and that kind of person-to-person connection. So, you know, when we looked at it 8 years ago, you know, what we have this year was the vision. It's just only been realized now. You can't dive into something. You know, in year one, we couldn't put on a 3,000 person outdoor festival. You know, we didn't have the money, the resource, the people, right. the know-how. So, you know, it's been a gradual build, but hopefully what we have this year is the vision. This is the realization. And yeah, should be good.
Yeah. And that, you know, to me, you hit on a point that I think really kind of separates Wreckfest from a lot of other events is, you know, the festival atmosphere. It was funny for me. I mean, so this will be my third Wreckfest. I remember following the first couple on Twitter and looking at the pictures and just seeing the tweets and the conversation that was happening. And it was very clear to me, even from afar, that it had a different vibe. It had a different feel. And then being able to experience it firsthand, it really solidified that. And I think that the festival atmosphere is super hard to pull off, right? To make it organic and real. But I think that's kind of the magic of Wreckfest. You know, when you get feedback from attendees, what kind of things do you hear about the format and how that differs with typical events that most people are attending?
So I suppose if you look at the audience breakdown, something started to happen about 3 years ago, which was completely organic. So we started to see big teams attending. So, you know, Sainsbury's weren't bringing four people, they were bringing 40 people. And IBM wasn't bringing two people, they were bringing 20 people. And that happened completely organically. And we started to ask questions around why that was. And because it's so relaxed, because, you know, the bar opens at lunchtime, because there's bands on as well, people are walking around in, you know, T-shirt, shorts and flip-flops, that actually a lot of the big resourcing teams and TA teams started to use it as an away day as well for their teams, you know, rather than hiring some crap hotel and, you know, bringing in a motivational speaker and getting people to, you know, do trust exercises. Bring them to Wreckfest, maybe do that bit in the morning or the day before. And then, you know, Wreckfest is kind of, you know, their celebration. And, you know, that's what we always talk about, because I get frustrated with our industry because not enough events have a purpose. You know, people will be doing events to either sell you a product or to make sponsorship money. And generally, when that's your end goal, the event's going to be pretty crap. The purpose of Wreckfest is to celebrate our industry. You know, we say it on the lanyard. We talk about it in the tickets. It's, look, guys, this is your day. You know, we understand that you are undervalued, sometimes underappreciated, always asked to do more with less. Well, today is your day. And you know, what we want from that is we want people to walk away with that sense of, you know what, I work for a really cool industry. I make a difference in what I do. It's, you know, we're doing some really cool stuff and, you know, I'm making an impact. And that's kind of what we want people to walk away with. And generally, that's the feedback we get is, you know, I've been educated, but also I've really been celebrated as well. And I think people appreciate it.
Yeah, that celebration, I'm glad you touched on that, because that was something I remember when we had our first conversation, you would kind of reinforce that to me. And I think being there and seeing it firsthand, that really does come through. I mean, you're surrounded by, you know, what was then hundreds and then thousands and now 3,000 peers. And the whole event and the whole vibe is really about celebrating the role of recruiters and the impact they have and having people connect. And so the networking, and not even networking, that sounds too business informal, just like the ability to hang out with peers that have similar interests and do it in an environment that's pretty laid back and chill with the festival format, I think is such a unique experience. You know, from getting back to the speakers, the content is always really solid. And as you've expanded over the years, the number of stages have grown, the formats have grown. I think this year there's 100 speakers. How do you determine who to spotlight? Like, I know right now your reach is global. You're bringing speakers from all around the world in to share their experience and wisdom. I imagine that's got to be really difficult to kind of narrow down on who gets the stage. So what is your process like for selecting speakers?
Yes. Yeah, so we've got two processes. So we're lucky that we run around 50 events in the UK. So from a UK point of view, you know, we've got a lot of time to test speakers, and we can smaller events that we can take a chance with people on, you know, 20, 30 person networking events. And you can take a chance with someone that, you know, maybe doesn't have the experience and pedigree so far. And you know, if they're fire, then brilliant, we can fast track them to the big stage at Wreckfest. So that's one aspect. Obviously, that limits us to the UK. So we track, we follow most major events in the world. So, you know, if Sherman running an event in the US, we'll track that on social media. We'll speak to people that are there, you know, who are the best speakers, who got the biggest ovations, who was people buzzing about. You know, like this year, you know, I use Torrin Ellis as a great example of someone that is just blowing up the US speaker scene at the moment. And, you know, Torrin got on radar with us through our friends at Social Talent about a year and a half ago. And we just started to monitor the places he was talking about, the things he was talking about, and the reactions he was getting. And it's just easy at that point to say, look, this guy is over like Rover. Let's just, you know, let's get him over on a flight. And for us, it's all about not being oversaturated. And, you know, the benefit of bringing over some of the guys from the US or some of the other countries is they're not oversaturated to the UK market. So, right. You know, that's a big thing for us. Because the industry is guilty of overbooking the same speakers to talk about the same subjects over and over again. And people start to lose interest. So, yeah, it's just, you know, you've got to keep it fresh. Always, you know, be willing to take a chance. You know, we've got someone like Matt Charney and Tim Sackett. You know, they can throw in some hand grenades. So you've got to be willing to take a bit of a chance as well. So, you know, don't be beige.
Got it. And so from your perspective, I mean, you've seen hundreds of talks over the years. What past RecFest talk really resonates with you the most? When you look back, I know we're going on year 8 here. Walk me through a talk that is still front of mind for you.
I actually don't get to see as many talks as people think. I'm generally running around putting out fires, and you know, I might sort of go over the videos afterwards. But the one that really resonates for me, and it was the first time I'd ever seen someone get a standing ovation at a HR event, was a young lady by the name of Jam. Jam was on the apprenticeship scheme for Barclays, and Jam told a story to the RecFest audience at RecFest 3. About how her family were entwined in gang culture. Her brothers and sisters had done a lot of time. And she was heading down that same route. And, you know, she got on the Barclays apprenticeship scheme and she saw that, you know, her life could be different. And this scheme turned her life around. And it was incredibly powerful. I think, you know, it's always good sometimes to put a delegate on, to put a candidate on stage, because you start to hear what it's all about. Sometimes we get bogged down with technology and numbers and brand and, you know, big future of work trends. But actually just listening to a job seeker that's been on that journey is so powerful, and it's great to do it again. And she got standing ovation. And actually, I think she went on to do a TED talk off the back of that talk, which was amazing. So yeah, that one for me was the one that really stood out.
That's great. And so let's jump into this year's event. So 3,000 attendees. I mean, just to kind of go through some of the numbers, 5 stages, 100 speakers, 3,000 attendees. This is a level of scale that you haven't quite put on before. You know, what are you most excited about for this year's event?
I think just the variation we have this year, I think that's the exciting part for me. I mean, obviously, outside of it being outdoors and a proper film festival, you know, it sort of feels like we've been playing festival a little bit. We've had some pretty funky venues so far, but, you know, this is a field. You know, we've had to lay our own Wi-Fi. We're having to put our own water in, our own electricity grid. So, you know, just that kind of it looking and feeling like a proper festival is exciting. But I just think it's the variation of speakers. Everyone gets to, you know, create their own experience at RecFest and to sort of, you know, if people want to hang out and just chat to peers all day, they can do that. There's places to do that. If they want to go and listen to inspirational speakers, they can do that as well. If they want to meet vendors, they can do that. So that's really exciting for me, is just the variation of content we have and allowing people to build their own event, I suppose. I mean, the downfall of that is we're already having people say to us, there's a speaker I want to hear on stage 1 and on stage 4 at the same time. What do I do? It's like, well, we can't clone you at the moment. But, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, sorry about that. We'll send you recordings. But yeah, I think just the variation of content and the sheer scale of it is what I'm excited about.
Yeah. And so what for, I know you sold out this year. And so for people that can't attend live, but are interested in kind of following along or seeing some of the talks, you know, either during or after, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things you can do. So Alan Walker is going to be running what we call the Live Lounge. So the Live Lounge is a live stream of the festival. It's not going to be live streaming the speakers. We can't do that this year, unfortunately, but Alan's going to be interviewing speakers before and after they go on. So it'll give everyone a real good kind of an idea of what the vibe's like. The actual live stream is going to be backing onto the festival, so you'll actually see the festival part and people hanging out and doing their thing. And then Alan's going to be talking to, I think, about 15 of the speakers. So, you know, it's a good opportunity to understand the vibe. And, you know, the more people drink throughout the afternoon, the more interesting that live stream's going to get. I might put Matt Chine on like 5 and just see what happens, just for the pure banter of it all.
You know, it would be amazing. You might want a tape delay, but having been on those 5 o'clock broadcasts with Matt, those are always fun and guaranteed entertaining. So obviously at the scale this year, 3,000, I believe, you know, capacity of Hawker House was around 1,000 the last 2 years. I imagine you're going to have a lot of first time attendees, this year. What advice would you have if somebody has not been to RecFest? Obviously a different kind of format of an event than what most attendees might be accustomed to if they haven't been before. What advice would you have for a first time attendee?
Yeah, sure. I think come with an open mind, first of all. You know, come with an open mind. You are going to a festival. This isn't the Excel Center. This isn't, you know, a CIPD conference. You know, so come with an open mind for both the speakers and also the format. I separate from groups. I see way too many people going around in big groups, and you know, you've got whole teams of people going to see the same speaker. Like, spread out, you get a lot more covered. And also, just go and say hello to people. You know, RecFest is super chilled, and it's way better when you can meet new people. It does add to the experience. With this year, we're using a piece of technology. It connects to your lanyard, and amongst other things, you can swap contact details with people just by both clicking at the same time. So there's a real opportunity to network and expand out your network of peers, and you know, that's really, really important. I think, you know, don't get stressed if you can't see certain speakers because either the rooms are full or, you know, there's a clash. We get all the content out within a few weeks, so you know, for the most part, you'll always get a chance to see the content you want to see. And hang around afterwards. You know, half the buzz is the after party. We've got DJs and bands, and Bill Borman's going to do a comedy set, and you know, there's loads of good stuff happening. So, you know, don't book anything for afterwards. Just be there, hang around, embrace it, soak it all up, and you know, you'll come away a better person. That's the whole idea.
That's great. And so, you know, I hate to even get ahead of the event, which will be coming up the week that this publishes. But what's next for RecFest? Where do you see this going from here?
You know, we've doubled every year, and I think the team need a break, to be honest, because I think we've almost broken with the 3,000 number this year. So we're definitely not going to be doubling the same way we have every year. I think what we might look to do, and you know, we've already started having some conversations around this, is actually making RecFest more of a week event. So not the actual festival itself, but partnering with, you know, some people like Bill Borman with True London and a few of the other event organizers to make it a bit more of a destination, or making London more of a destination during that week for people that want to come from outside the UK. You know, putting on events afterwards, putting on events before, and just actually, yeah, making it more of a destination town for the actual week of the event itself. I mean, the other thing, you know, I'd love to bring RecFest to the US, but I don't know. I you know, I'll take some advice from you. Would RecFest work in the US?
I mean, I think that the format certainly would. I think the challenge coming to the U.S. is just the building the kind of awareness and the kind of market presence. You know, you've had 8 years to do that in London, and I think you've also been reinforced by all of the events you do, whether it's the RL100 or other events throughout the year. So that the name recognition and the trust is there. I think that takes time to build, and so it could translate, certainly. I mean, I think it would be amazing to have an event like that in the US. But I think that the challenge is just building that trust. I mean, one of the things that I think the magic in RecFest is you and the team have done such an effective job at earning the trust of the recruiting community across the UK. You know, when you put on an event, people know it's going to be worth their time. They know they're going to learn something. They know they're going to take something away. And obviously going from 1,000 to 3,000 and selling out validates that. And that's just something that takes time to build. So I would love to see RecFest in the US. I think that's just the kind of challenge to overcome is having, you know, putting in the time to scale it and grow it over time to get to that same level of recognition and awareness that you've built in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Fully agree.
Well, so in terms of if listeners want to, I know you're sold out this year, so I will frame this question more towards 2020. But if listeners want to kind of keep pace with what's happening at the recruiting events company, and in particular, RecFest 2020. What's the best way for them to kind of keep up with what you and the team are doing?
Yeah, but best thing to do is sign up for our newsletters and our email alerts. Our website is recruitmentevents.co. Just sign up for the mailers. You know, we send out maybe 1-2 emails a week, so we're not overly spammy. But it's probably the best way to keep up to date with, you know, everything that's going to be happening next year. We're hoping to be able to go out with dates the week after RecFest for 2020. So should be able to have that for people then. So yeah, that's probably the best way. Or just connect with me on or the company on LinkedIn. We push out a lot of stuff that way as well.
Sounds good. Well, Jamie, thanks so much for coming on and helping listeners get a better feel for what you and I are going to be experiencing this week at RecFest, and all the best with the event.
Thank you very much, Lars. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 21st Century HR. If you want to hear more episodes like this or read stories from the 21st Century HR Fast Company series, go to 21stcenturyhr.com. And if you want to make your podcast just a little more awesome, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast platform your ears desire. You'll find all the subscribe links on the website. And if you enjoy the podcast, do me a favor and share it with your peers, your network, your boss, and your CEO. Help me get the podcast into the ears of anyone who wants to know what HR and recruiting looks like when done really well. They'll thank you for it, and so will I. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode.